Okay, welcome to another time, Moments for Moms, and we're still talking about the dogs, the female dogs and the male dogs, change the words, talking about the different breeds, and the title today is about being yanked around or becoming a lap dog. So when we're talking about this, the image I have is this. I was on my way over here this morning, and I saw a man who I frequently see with his big earphones on, and he's got his dog leash tied around his waist, and he's got a pretty substantial-sized dog jogging beside him. And I see this man, and he's got his act together. He even has good posture when he's running. He's just like this, and the dog is kind of a, it looks like it's a standard poodle cross. So you see him really big and fluffy, and then you see him shaved down. I don't really know what he is, but he's poised too, and they work it. The leash is there, but the dog is not hindering the man in any way. And I feel like a lot of times that's the way we see marriage as needing to be, where we are the one jogging and our spouse is the one on the leash, and we're happy as long as they're keeping step with us. Very interesting, because mothers tend to take care of the children and the household, and we expect the husband to just come right in and follow suit. Another person I see in my neighborhood is a woman who used to walk early in the morning when I'd go out running, and she got a golden retriever puppy that ended up being 100 pounds. And I remember seeing she and her dignified husband, the doctor, losing it because of the bad behavior of this dog. Jumping up, it's not you, jumping up and down, the dog throwing himself down, the husband throwing his hat on the ground. You know, you can just lose it. Why? Because the dog wasn't behaving right. You know, when we get married, we don't expect to be the owner and to have our spouse be a dog. And we believe that we're being bound into a union where we are equally yoked, where we're side by side. But we are yoked. We're tied together in marriage. And what tends to happen is that we come up to something and it gets to the point where one has to defer to the other. And I would call these little conflicts. And what it is this. Life becomes so constrained that only one person can go through the gate or the door at a time. So depending upon what kind of a dog personality you are, you may be the kind of dog who is like me, the pointer. And the pointer is always going through that gate first. Always going through that gate first and expects everybody else to just get in line and follow. But you may be like my husband, who is a sweet little pug. And he doesn't even know why anybody needs to go through the gate. Why do we even need to go through the gate? If you want to drag me through, that's fine, but I don't even think we need to go through there. Maybe you know somebody who is the German Shepherd. Remember, German Shepherds are very smart, very goal-oriented, very analytical. They are hesitant to go through the darn gate because they're analyzing the benefits, cost benefits of going through the gate, not going through the gate. They want to analyze the pros and cons of you going first, me going first. What are we going to do? They'll drive you flat crazy. And then the last one is the sanguine, which is a beagle. And the beagle is just playful and fun, and they jump through the gate, jump back out, jump through the gate, jump back out. Don't even care who's being tied to them because they're having so much fun. Do you identify with this? Depending upon who you are and who your husband is, the way you face conflict to go through a narrow place is pretty much determined by your temperament, but also by what your goal is. You know, the thing about being yoked with a spouse is that we're supposed to be helping each other in life, and that means deferring to the other so as to make them better. And what I've known from being the pointer that I am is the more that I jump through that gate and get everybody to follow me, including my husband, the less important my husband feels. And honestly, when it comes down to it, he doesn't want to lead through the gate many times. But I'm doing him a disservice by just being who I am and expecting him to follow. Similarly, you may be married to a man who is a very strong leader. Maybe he's the pointer. Maybe he's the German Shepherd that's analyzing and trying to help you to figure out what the right thing is. And you as the mother have a choice. Am I going to respond in a positive way so that we can both get through the gate, or am I going to fight back? Am I going to be the one that causes my spouse to have the absolute meltdown on the street, or am I going to be going along in unity and what's good for us? The problem is, us is the two of us yoked together. One doesn't have the leash and the other one's on the collar, although that's the way we tend to treat each other. We're equally yoked. Us is the important thing, not me. But we always tend to think the main focus should be me. When I'm thinking about me, I think I need you to step in line and do what I say. When he comes home from work, I need you to tell me what time you're going to come home from work so the dinner won't be cold. I need you to do what I want you to do. Also, I'm the one that keeps all the plates spinning in the house, and so I expect him to not cause a ruckus by doing anything outside of what I'm doing. I want him to fall into step, and I feel like I'm doing most of the work, so I need to be deferred to. I deserve to be running the show because I work harder than him. Do you see how destructive that kind of thinking is? On the other side, when I'm like that, I'm focusing on his weaknesses. So it's as if I'm not even seeing myself as being yoked with him. I'm not one dog with the other dog. I am the boss and he is the slave. And all I can see is what he's doing wrong. Husbands do this to wives, wives do this to husbands, but it's the reality of what we have a tendency to do, and we respond in one of four ways, and they kind of coincide with the way we are. If you are the really fun beagle, you or your husband may tend to just fake it. It's all good. I'm okay. Okay, no problem. No problem. We lose our temper when they come home. No problem. What do you want me to do, babe? Anything. You know, anything for you. We tend to kind of want to keep the peace, so you fake it. But underneath, there's all kinds of problems. Maybe if you're the German Shepherd type, you tend to be kind of melancholy and have a martyr complex. You fold. It's all my fault. It's all my fault. Any problem we have is my fault. You fold. It's very destructive. And a person, whether it's you or your spouse, having a martyr complex is undercover manipulative. It's not healthy at all. How about the sweet little pug? The sweet little pug just wants to snuggle up and pretend like it didn't even happen. It's flight. If this is a bad day, I'm just going to get over here and go curl up on the sofa, get out of your way. So when we're upset and the pug comes home and we're trying to have a conversation, he'll change the subject or walk out the room, whatever it is. And here's me. This is the one who wants to fight. And I've learned I'm not an aggressive fighter outwardly, but boy, I can sure fight in different ways. Trying to pull some strings, trying to get my eye going, trying to offer advice in a helpful, calm, condescending way. You may know this person, it is me, I'm sorry. But anyway, what we have to do is defer to each other. We're never, two bullheaded dogs trying to get through the gate at the same time can't do it. Similarly, it's no good for you or your spouse to be pulling on ahead and dragging the other one behind. It's not a good thing to do. You know, women need to be loved and appreciated. Men need to be respected. So it's not good for us to drag them through, and it's not good for them to drag us through. Either way, we're not showing love and we're not showing respect. We need to defer to each other. An example that I think is great, Angela, what is a hot time at home? After school, before they come home, the husbands come home from work. If you know there's a gate coming and you've got potential for all kinds of problems, defer to them. What are they going to be facing when they come home? What are they going to be thinking? What can you do to prevent them from getting into the position where they're either going to have to fight or flee, where they're going to have to fake it or fold? What can you do? And a lot of times it's planning ahead, considering what you might do to deflect them. If I want my husband to feel respected by me, he has the tendency to sit back and let me lead. But that's not good for him in the long run. My will wants to go ahead and do it because I think I can do it better, but it's not good for him. It's not good for me. The us is hurt. So I have to figure out a way to prepare him and help him to see the gate that I want him to go through, that I'm happy for him to go through, that I'm proud that he'd go through first. It's deferring to him and giving him the opportunity to lead, even if his natural temperament wants to move back. And I'm not talking about rolling over and playing dead. I'm not talking about being the lapdog that says yes, 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 yes. No, I'm talking about what is good for us. It's not good for us if we roll over and play dead. The good thing is to defer to each other by setting the environment. If you're dog training, you go to a place where there aren't any distractions, where it's a place of peace, intimacy, and security. The importance of touch is so important. If you're trying to train a dog, you want to touch them and you tell them that they're doing real good. You want to use the same tone of voice all the time. You have certain things that you say. There are some things that we can say, and we can say it poorly and it'll mess everything up, but we can say the same information in a different way and it's successful. We need to learn what those things are. And we also need to allow for times of cooling off. Sometimes if your spouse comes in and you see him hitting a wall, you don't need to hit right back. You just need to give him a little space and let him come to the point where he's ready to talk to you. And the last thing is focus on one gate at a time. There's so many ways that we have wrecks, and there's so many places that we need to defer to each other. But if we can only focus on one at a time and help it to be successful, take the lead, because we're only speaking to women here. You take the lead in your relationship so that you can help them to go through with the least amount of damage, and it'll be good for us. So it's something to think about.